Peace to everyone. Today we are going to read about a very serious thing that happened in church. So it's about how God cleansed his church. And then he had a judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. And they immediately fell. Why did this thing happen? Many people have this question. In terms of we have a lot of things to consider, things about purity of the church and church discipline and how God exercised judgment. So today, in as God leads the current church, how is it related to how God is leading the church today? When we read this account, we must first understand first. So when we read this, did we ask what is the sin they have committed? Is it because they were not honest? Is it because they were vain, seeking glory? What did the Bible say? When Peter rebuked them, he said, "And Ananias, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Sapphira, why did you conspire with him to test the Spirit of the Lord?" In the New Testament, when the work of the Holy Spirit is so clearly displayed in the work in the lives of believers, what is the worst sin than disobeying the Lord? That is to deceive the Holy Spirit. The root of all sins, it is when we reject, when we belittle, and we belittle the Lord before us, we deny His existence. Even though we know His existence, but we ignore Him, neglect Him. My sin, He knows, but He does. He knows, but it doesn't matter as long as others don't know. All this sin, all the sin comes from our intentions when we suppress His truth. When Peter said, "You lied to the Spirit." Can the Spirit be deceived? The Spirit knows everything. When you say you lie to the Spirit, the real meaning is you don't really care about you don't care whether he or she, whether the Holy Spirit knows, as long as others do not know. This is the real meaning of it. So when Moses, when we talk about we have 70-80 years, he said, "Who knows? Who knows your wrath?" Moses also said this. So the people of the world, their attitude towards God, you know, if I sin, what's the big deal? This is the attitude of people in the world. So people living in God's wrath, so in their whole life, they labor and they have trouble. What God detests the most is not just our sin, but it is the attitude that we have, how we belittle His holiness and treat Him as though He does not exist. Then we must also ask, Ananias and Sapphira, their sin, help us to see, where did it come from? This sin, it did not come from the world. The sin happened in the church. The world, so if the church faced external threat, it will strengthen the church. But if it comes from within, it will actually taint the church. So when we have external persecutions, we have attacks, this, we will think, and as the believers go through this kind of persecution, they will be refined. But when we see, so when we have those who preach the false teachings, and then there are those who are hypocrites, right? All these things have a greater damage to the church. How many churches are actually broken down because of the external threats? When I go to China, when there's a lot of persecution, so when in China, when persecution comes, when a 100% church splits into 10 small churches, but it is only when there's internal division, when people seek glory and they have politics, and very easily groups of people. This is the work of Satan. So what is fatal is what is coming from within here. Everyone will ask this question, why in that time such a sin happened? So why did God punish them so severely? But in the church today, God didn't seem to do such a thing. God relaxed His rules. So there's no such judgment in. So is God doing such things today? It is not that God did not have such judgment today, but it's not necessarily punishing in such a way immediately. What we thought when we did not see someone lie to the Spirit or commit adultery and then fall immediately. When we don't see such a thing, it does not mean that God is not doing. Sometimes when you are in church, in a church for 30, 40 years, when they live a life that is lying to the Holy Spirit, living in hypocrisy, and the life will slowly rot away, and they lose this heart of godliness. You see their life getting worse. Their next generation, they go the way of the world, and then in the end, he has nothing. When they have come to the end, nobody remembered them. When they thought about him, they become the negative example in church. Such a person, he will not leave any contribution to the church. In 40 years, the Israelites, God did not just kill them immediately, but in the wilderness, the Israelites, the one generation passed away slowly over time. When God did not do something shocking, it is really God's mercy. God is waiting, but do not think that such a thing. Do not think this is only for the early church. This today, God can also and will judge in such a way. But why did God want to exercise judgment, execute judgment so immediately? So it was the start of the church. The tree is just like a tree that has just sprouted. Once it's rotten, when you continue to grow, then the future generations of church will be rotten. So today, now today the church is ready. There are a big tree with many branches. If a small branch, if there's a leader, if there's a sin, when it belittles the holiness, God will wait God did not just 20, 30 years. There are also many people who love God. So when the branch is, it will not affect the whole tree. 20, 30 years, some consequences, so that all the church can learn the lesson. So the, our Lord, no matter what He does, He is concerned about the whole church. Do not think that and many people think of when they want to start a church, their his perspective is always talking about how their church is has a revival. God is looking at the whole community of believers. So a blessed church leader cannot just be concerned about his own church. So if you know the church history, you know the heartbeat of God, He will pray for the church. He will also pray. He will pray for His own church and also the universal church. And so when there are revival and blessed things that happen to the universal church, and how can it inspire you? It's not just a no. It's not competition. You have 1,000. It's not a competition of the numbers. It's not the. So we all come before the Lord. Before we receive the crown, who is the good and faithful servant? God is asking who is truly, who really truly knows my heart. So some very private sins we will talk about. We all have sinned. All believers, we are righteous, but we are also sinners. We will sin. We do not want to make a church into an illegalistic organization where you point out the sin of many people who has no sin. So we must also know that God is a compassionate God. We ask for His mercy. So through the Spirit, when the word is being professed, we turn our hearts to God so that we don't be hardened. So we will not reach a stage where we are so hardened we cannot turn back. So let's see how God is removing this rottenness in the church, especially Ananias and Sapphira. They could be someone quite prominent, and at this point in time when God did this, so that at the leadership, if there's something that is not pleasing to God, they are hypocritical, and if they remain in their position, if God did not remove them, the rest cannot. God, according to His timing, and if not, but God can, church cannot grow. When people see, so Christians can also do this. If you have a position, you can do this. Then God's holiness is being compromised. So let's look at, so when there are unclean things in the church, how God deals with this. Chapter 5, Ananias. So let's read verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Last week, where do we stop last week? In this Ananias, Sapphira, there was a person called Barnabas. And he's the encourager. He sold his land and then gave all before the feet of the apostles. When we talk about Barnabas, this is a positive example. Then there's a negative example. We can see that Barnabas, after he, and then he received praise to from many people. So he did something blessed and blessed, and then they give thanks to God. And then Ananias and Sapphira, so they may have also wanted to receive the praise and approval. So they have this vanity image. They may not have the motivation to help the poor in the church, but maybe they wanted to have the reputation. Some people said, some after you sold your land, just bring to. So who sold their house and give the part to the church? They sold and give part of it to the church. It's really not bad. So in here, so he Nosizomai, it's in the New Testament. You use it in the New Testament, it's in Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Here is a steal. It's about stealing. It's like in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, when you translate to the Greek word, a very word that is similar is Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, when you talk about Achan's sin. So you go to Jericho, destroy them, don't take anything. Achan saw their possessions, and then he had this greed in him, and he took some and took things that God did not allow. It is a meaning of, it's a stealing. It's a meaning of stealing in this. When it is, there's a hypothesis for us. Maybe before that they sold, before they sold the land, we have talked to the apostles, there's some plan, there's an agreement. We were also decided to sold the land, and a whole amount received for the land will, they may have made a vow. Many people also may have also thanked God for that. For they may have agreed to offer all the money received from the land. So although he has not, maybe had not sold, but it's already belonging to God. But after selling it, so so much money. Maybe they had second thoughts. It's okay to have second thoughts. Can I change my mind next time? Then I'll offer more. It doesn't matter, actually. I must. Then he kept back some of the money and let the rest thought that they have offered everything. So it's not as much stingy, or it is about lying. It's about stealing. This is where you belittle God. In Achan's sin, his sin also, so it also led to the defeat of Israelites. So Ananias and Sapphira, this so it caused the church to be unclean, and the holiness of church, or holiness of God in church, is also being compromised. Bible did not say this, but when we look at the whole scene, when we talk about leaders, we talk about apostles. After apostles, the whole system and hierarchy, apostles, then so Jesus also sent out 70 disciples, and then 120 in the Mark's room. And then there's so there are different levels of leadership. When there are 5,000, 3,000 who accepted the Lord. So there are also things about hierarchy. When they, so Barnabas is also quite well respected, and then they receive, and then he also joined Paul in the missionary. So when he in the early stages of the church, he is also quite esteemed. So when we talk about Ananias and some, so they may be one of the 70 or 120 below the authority of the apostles. They are also holding some leadership position. We do not know. So they have some influence. If their sin, if God did not deal with it, they are rotten. Their greed, their hypocrisy will influence the rest of the people. So for us, we look at, we know all this because we looked at the whole Bible and we examine the scriptures, and then we really know that how God looks at things very holistically. So every time we read, sometimes we may misunderstand what God is doing, but in here, God immediately gave Peter the gift of here they gift of knowledge. So God gave Peter the gift of knowledge. Some can prophesy. Some have knowledge or to know things that others cannot know. So immediate Peter, when he saw the money he brought, he knew there's a lie. This is a you cannot accuse people wrong casually. Sometimes in church, there's no Bible at that time. The full canon of the Bible is not completed. So God miraculously also give people wisdom and knowledge and reveals things to the apostles. And Peter saw that in such a thing. In verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Peter said spiritual words. Peter didn't say, why do you tell a lie? How is it that Satan has filled your heart? So when people hear Satan, and then they get very curious, how is it that? Is it that they'll talk gibberish, or they will have foaming at the mouth? Or, so is it when Satan fills a person? Who said that? You said that. When you look at the Bible, when Satan has filled a person's heart, the mind is very clear and very cunning, very shrewd, even to this extent of lying to the Holy Spirit. he suppressed the truth. All the wisdom in his head is used to is to tell a lie. Very often, we do not know, understand the. We thought Satan feel a person, it will possess the person, it will make him lose his mind. But it's not. When Satan feel a person, it gives them a very smart mind. You can create a lot of illusion so that he can be, looks like he loves the Lord, he loves praying. Actually, it's all pride and vanity and hypocrisy. Especially those with positions, those people with higher position. So you are very influential, you are well respected. Do not be careless and start living before men. If you ask a person to become deacons, elders. Some people may have a good testimony, but you know, the next moment he may be tempted. I don't know whether I do certain things is really praise of men. So sometimes we do not know. Sometimes when we get very hurt when people are not, then you realize that. So we don't want to give people authority or ministry. Why? Because we are protecting them. So when I see a person, I see them for many years, how he goes through different trials. In the suffering, he continued to serve God faithfully. In small things, very faithful. Not just so on in the small things. So you must know that no matter everything he does, he's doing it for the Lord. He's not being pressured into doing something. I need to obey the Lord. So all these evidences must come through time. Some people can endure it for a while and do it. They can. But if they want to do it for a long term, it really needs the person's walk with God. So we must be very careful. If a person, this one, we cannot do such a thing. If a person is eloquent, you ask him to preach immediately. We cannot do such a thing. It has to come from inside. Verse 4. When you read this, is Satan feel a person's heart. They were of a clear mind. They were cunning. They covered themselves, suppressed their own conscience, hide their own deceit. This is a Satan. Satan influenced him, no choice. Satan, all the sin goes to Satan. It's not that case. So what is the next? So it's very spiritual words. Didn't it belong to you before it was so? And after it was so, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. You have the authority to use this. Satan can influence a person. Satan can influence a person, but he cannot replace sin on behalf of a person. Your father, Jesus also said, Satan's but the one who carried out the act is you. So while we may be in tempted, a lot of people say even spirit is as though we are all, as though we are all victims, and then if you are a victim, why did God judge you? There's no one can sin on behalf of. Of course, you are weak. If you Satan may tempt you, you have the environment, but ultimately, you have Holy Spirit. You can rely on the Holy Spirit to reject His voice. You must always remember this. You cannot say my sins are too great, my temptations are too great. God has given you sufficient power to flee from the sin. Verse 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all to hear what had happened. And then some young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Peter did not sentence him to death. So we don't sentence people to death. Peter only confronted his sin. And God will use His own ways to judge a person. We do not sentence people. We just talk about sins clearly. We speak. And then how God wants to deal with it is God's sovereignty. And Ananias, he fell and died. Maybe he had a heart attack. From here we see when the wrath of God comes upon a person, it's not just a sense of remorse. Some people, So this is the extent how God's wrath can do to a person. I say, this thing can happen today. God has the authority to have mercy or execute judgment in the stage where, so there are so many churches, so many negative examples. There are also positive examples. There are so many pastors, so many teachers, and the canon is so God hopes every time they hear, they can repent. He does not. If these things happen more, do they have fear of God? There is no reverence so that they can love God. So you fear God. So you revere God. That's, we do not sin because of reverence for God, not just fearing God. So, like I said, God can also choose to use, execute the judgment over a long period of time. But God worked all things out for the good of those who love Him. So great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Oh, we need to have some fear of the Lord. If you have no fear, if you don't, you will, your dose of we need to jump. I tell you, I have never seen a person who truly revere God says the worship is boring. I am coming before the Lord with believers. God is speaking to me and speaking to the congregation. You will not feel boring. You will not feel that way. If you need external things to just excite you, so actually you are lacking the heart of reverence. When God work within, above us, within, among us, and within us, some people can hear very carefully. The more they hear, the more can revere God. Some have a heart that they can listen, they can don't listen. Actually, if the sin is not being dealt with, so the real revival of the church, when we clap, the real revival is not this high. When if they come for worship, right, that kind of in anticipation of God's word, this is the real revival. Such a revival, and it's not the high. It's a different thing. When you are built, when you enter the most holy place and meet God, and it's different when you are being emotionally charged up in the service when we gather. Now the lights are. If you go out, there's also sun. We don't need to be too dark. We cannot see our own sin. If you examine all these things, it's all psychology, using your senses. In churches, we will realize because when the church speaks about sin boldly, but we also talk about the mercy of God, we see believers because they are enlightened by the word of God, and then they humble themselves, and then they repent. And then they are released, they are set free. That is the Holy Spirit's freedom and so sometimes when I preach, after the sermon, everyone we have a good conversation. Why is it just now after that you were being scolded, now you are so happy? Because the God's word cut to our heart, everyone is willing to submit. Everyone knows their sin. They are willing to turn to God. They cleanse their heart. They have a clean heart. Then they can have joy. Such a joy is the joy of the Holy Spirit. Such a joy. You will bring about judgment. I rather, after they hear the word of a sermon, they struggle with God themselves. After that, then he leaves the He is cleansed. We must pursue such a thing. The holy joy, the joy of submission. Why am I not joyful? Because in the sermon, so everything is what I cannot do, I tell you. Actually, you reject God's voice. When God rebukes you, asks you to obey, you do not want to accept, you want to gratify your own desires. Actually, do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that peace, joy, gentleness? Do you have that? It's whether when we are listening to the word, is your wrestling with God. And then after that, you surrender to God. Then you realize. And then or do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or you continue to rely on your desires? I've spoken about this for many years. Everyone, some believers, they are always in the valley. We just want to pick him up. God is with us, but they cannot pick themselves up because you do not want to submit. It all comes from ourselves. Everyone has their reasons for weaknesses. Some people are living in sin. Some people, they want something but they cannot get it. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you must do not reject Him. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to pronounce judgment. I can't. But this is something that God has done in the early churches that has caused fear. But here we have also talked about, when we talk about verse 5 and 6, talk about church discipline, when many people heard about this, when people sin, do we need to openly expose their sin? This one gives us a very clear instruction. Open sin. Openly deal with it. Private sin, deal with it privately. It's also a principle. The church can take reference. If someone embezzled money, so the church needs to know. Church committees needs to know. Cannot just a pastor knows. If a person has adultery, it's a private sin and his weakness. Don't need to tell. You are really causing them to die because they are in shame and they cannot. So private sin, we deal with it privately. Individually dealing with it means you speak to the person. But if you have a private sin, but he wants to lead, can he lead people? It will in fact affect many people. Then, for leadership, those who teach, if you know there are some things you privately let go of some of your teaching, so after you you after you reading this, you have understanding of God's holiness, then you will know my life, I'm in this state, but after I say this a lot, I can't. I'm sinning, I cannot teach, I cannot serve, I'm a big sin. Oh, we are all sinful. If you have a sin, if you say those with sin cannot teach, then I should also step down. But we are all sinners. When we talk about sin, it's a very complicated thing. Is it something that is in disobedience of when I was 20? Or I tell this. Maybe 20 years old, I may have speed back things about my colleague, you know. Do you want so you have to see. So some people will say, well, this year this person did this 10 years ago. Oh, now this person is the elder. What can you do? So ask God for mercy. We also must have a balanced view. When we talk about church discipline, it's to help people, to protect the church. And so that the person who have sinned can be restored. And it's not to go into legalism. Did this person repent? When I talk to my co-workers about membership, so there must be discipline. If you want to be a member, you must give some authority to the church so that church can exercise discipline. It represents God's holiness and also protect the integrity of the church and so to protect and also to protect the person who has sinned so that he has this awareness and he's this so he can have remorse and repent. It's not to destroy a person's life. So when we come from a Presbyterian church, we have a policy. Some people, the Lord's table, so you cannot say those with sin. So in fact, if they never, their life, they continue to put the name of the Lord to shame, and they continue to receive the Holy Communion, it's not good, because the elders can, if it's an open sin, okay, many churches follow this. When I go to China, stop serving, stop Holy Communion. I realized that. But we also saw the lead. When the lead. This is also very not right. So it becomes an abuse of the pastor to ask people to say, to have the authority to ask people to stop Holy Communion. I have not asked anyone to stop Holy Communion. This is something between you and God. So there are those who to sleep. When we say every word in the Bible, when we don't see these things happening immediately, but when we say is to help us to remind each other not to belittle God's word. And after 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes, that is the price." Peter said, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will also carry you out." Also, at that moment, he fell down at his feet and died. Sapphira, his knowing and willing participant. He knew about this, and he is willing, and he participated in the sin. So that's why he received the same punishment. Why do you conspire? What is their relationship? The Bible didn't say. But when they conspire, they have a good relationship. When you have a good relationship, when you have a... So if you have... So when you have good spousal relationship and then you conspire to lie to the Spirit, I cannot say my other half is like that, I just follow. You must, although you are one, but all you will have to account to God individually. Because I want to obey, submit to my husband, so I sin. The husband cannot say, because I love my wife also, so I compromise. Ultimately, all of you have to account to God yourself. If the other half don't want to come to church, you come yourself. You cannot force the person. If the other half don't want to, what you have received, you need to give offering. So this is our own responsibility before God. This tells us, if we don't submit to God, there are some consequences you need to bear for not submitting to God. And so the young man came in and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. So in Old Testament, when Achan sinned, he was stoned. In the New Testament, so the church does not only just speak the word of God. If they are and we confront the sin, after that, how God wants to judge and sentence is up to God. This is where Muslims, a lot of Muslims, Sharia law, if you steal things, if you commit adultery, they'll stone you. In some Islamic countries, they still do that. This is it's not the same as our New Testament practices. So it gives the authority and pass on some of these all these things. God has allowed this authority to given to the state so that the church is focused on building lives. And it's the other And a very common question is, Ananias and Sapphira, are they believers who are saved? My answer is, I don't know. Yeah, just, yeah. If you truly believe, will you do such a thing? When we ask this question, a pastor said this. A person, it looks like they are safe, and those who are not, looks like they are not safe. If you meet two person, when you meet, one denied Jesus and one betrayed Jesus, but no, in their heart we don't know who did, who you just met them on the day Jesus was arrested. If you are human, you really don't know. Then you know that, oh, one repented. Actually, one is who has been preserved by the Lord, and the Lord intercede for him. We cannot judge such a thing. In Ananias and Sapphira, so the Bible is deliberate in not making clear whether they are safe or not. So non-believers in church, there could be goats in the church. They are living in sin. They never repent. And Satan use them as vessels to tear in the church and do such a thing, and then God judge them. Or actually they are regenerated believers, but because did not judge, but it's discipline. The discipline can be to the extent that they lose their life, when their life cannot glorify God, it cannot bring edification to self or others, and they put their name to shame, and God can bring them away. So in Corinthians, talk about a brother, so that their souls, hand them over to Satan, so that these are safe, but they sleep because they brought so much destruction to the church. And is there such a thing? There is such a thing. I emphasize this thing. When the word of God is being preached, every time we prepare a message, every time the word of God is like a mirror. It reflects me. I always, every time I write it myself, I am also repenting. Every time when, and true. Let's not be brought to a state where we cannot repent. Actually, I belong to you. Because the bondage is too strong. I belong to you. I'm not supposed to do this, but I can't do it myself. When you are so, the more you hear, the more you reject it. Actually, if you are someone who is a regenerated believer, but you cannot change, when you hear words that you want to rebuke you, but so God sometimes will take this person away, such a extent. I want everyone to understand there are a lot of real situations. It's very much intertwined with what's in the hearts of men. So when he can be found, let's seek the Lord. Verse 11. So verse 11, we read this together. Great fear seized the whole church and all who get heard about these events. Before, only this is the first time you use the word ecclesia church. Ecclesia means they are called out. In this thing, he all asked the whole church to be. We are not this gathering. We are caught out from the world. How can we live in the world? So they were all fear seized the whole church. So, and then next week we will see that apostles perform many signs and wonders because the whole church has this reverence for God. And then you see signs and wonders accompany them. No believers will think that coming to church is boring. May God help us so that we have this right heart. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you. In this, as we come to the end of the message, we want to hold on to your precious blood, the word preached from the pulpit. Lord, you have given us abundant mercy. Every time we come to you to repent, you have given us mercy. We know that this is to protect us, to build us up, and to cleanse our life. Help us all, and to let our Lord you rule in our life. And Lord, if there are things that make us struggle, help us to be able to willing to submit to you. May the Holy Spirit help us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.